Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Here each week to talk money in all of its motley forms. We hope you're enjoying your weekend in all of its motley forms. On this week's show, some unhappy returns for Blockbuster Video, a guy who charges people to burn his grass, and our signature game, Which is Bigger, along with other Motley Fool offerings. But we begin the show by talking about a story that may have slipped by you. The federal government is cracking down on the real estate industry. And here to talk about it is Fool Radio economics contributor Charlie Whelan, the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago, Illinois. Charlie, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show this week.
Good to be back with you.
Charlie, nothing quite says excitement like Justice Department real estate crackdown. Could you explain, please?
Well, the real estate industry is the latest to get that inkling that perhaps there may be a suit imminent. And the Justice Department has announced that they are in talks with the National Association of Realtors trying to negotiate their practices that may violate antitrust statutes. And at issue is whether the real estate industry, which has clung fairly tenaciously to the standard 3% commission, or something very close to it, is now facing a lot of competition from internet upstarts, from operations that are offering a menu of options instead of the standard commission, and the Justice Department is alleging that there may be some activities on the part of the realtors that are illegally impeding the activities of these new entrants to the market.
Charlie, now we're talking Department of Justice here, not Elliot Spitzer. What, has Elliot Spitzer lost a step?
Well, he can't be everywhere in all places, but yes, it may well show up in New York, because at the same time, they're also looking at state practices, state licensing practices, because the real estate industry is being accused of creating licensing statutes at the state level that either preclude other entrants from entering the profession or ban certain practices that actually may be in the best interest of consumers. So it is a multi-tiered kind of investigation, all with the hope in the end that it'll become a more competitive industry for those buying or selling a house.
Charlie Whelan, author of Naked Economics. Can you give us the naked economics of a real estate transaction? Whose interests are being served?
Well, by and large, the interests of the seller and the buyer and the real estate agent overlap, but just overlap. They're not identical. And I think the Justice Department investigation aside, you should really always be wary of somebody you've hired either to buy or sell your house. And the reason is their interests diverge in some important ways that could end up costing you a lot of money. And let me give you an example on the buy side, which is probably the easier side to understand, which is your real estate agent is making a commission based on the amount that you pay. So do the math. The more you pay, the higher your real estate agent's commission. So There is often little incentive for your agent to help you bargain those last $10,000 or $15,000. And in fact, they may actually discourage that. I was actually involved in a transaction once where my broker, the guy who's supposed to be working for me, told me that my offer was insulting to the sellers, who subsequently turned around and accepted it.
Was that a buyer broker, Charlie, you hired?
I don't remember what he was. I have some other terms that I might describe him as, but I don't think in a court of law they would carry much weight. But there are actually some more subtle problems on the sell side as well, which is, now, ostensibly here, the incentives are more aligned, because the more you sell your house for, the more your broker makes. And so at first cut, it looks right. But the problem is, if you hold out, say, for an extra 6 months and make a lot more money as a result, it's actually that much more work for your broker. So if you're selling a house that's in the $300,000 range, your broker may encourage you to sell it way below price, because he or she can flip it almost immediately at $300,000, where if you waited 6 months and they had to do a lot of more work, bake a lot more cookies, do a lot more open houses, you sell it for $350,000, you pocket a ton more money. The real estate agent makes, you know, kind of 3% of the difference, and it may not be worth his or her while for that incremental income. So they may often encourage you to flip it at an below what you could sell it for if they did more work.
Charlie, I want you to gaze into the Whelan crystal ball and tell me what you think is going to happen with this Department of Justice crackdown.
I don't think they're eventually going to sue. I think what's going to happen is they'll get a negotiated settlement. The issue that's brought it to a head, one of the many issues, is the internet listings, the MLS, basically. So there's the multiple listing service. If you're selling a house through a broker, it gets listed on this multiple listing service, and anybody else who is a member of that service is privy to all those listings. Now, the question is whether some of these internet upstarts who are members of this listing service can be denied access to the listings of the firms that are sticking to the 3% commission. Those conventional firms are trying to exclude the new entrants, even though they're members of the MLS, and that seems to be the anti-competitive sticking point that the Justice Department is nosing around. My guess is they will probably come to some negotiated settlement, because really, if you look at the real estate commissions fixed at or near 3%, it's the last of a dying breed. We've seen fixed commissions go by the wayside in the brokerage industry, in terms of travel agents and so on. So it really is an industry ripe for new ways of thinking, new commission models, particularly because of the internet.
So Charlie, any word of advice to our listeners, some of whom are obviously going to be buying a house in the next year?
I think you want to think clearly about what you want to get out of the transaction and then make your agent work for you. Don't necessarily assume that they're going to be always acting in your best interest. I mean, don't treat them like a crook from the get-go. But remember that sometimes your intuition in terms of pricing or negotiating may actually be the wiser course of action.
And Charlie, how about your email address so that realtors listening to our show can write in to share their thoughts on this latest controversy and on your thoughts as well?
That would be motleyfool.com.
You know, Charlie, the world does seem to be changing. The internet and e-commerce are really bringing about so much change in almost every aspect of finance. Would you one day consider selling your house yourself? Do you think most of us have the time or expertise to through the internet do it ourselves?
Well, you know, if you're not in a rush, there's no reason why you can't give it a try and set it out. And it depends how well you know your neighborhood and so on. Certainly, we live in a unique area of the city, and a lot of the houses around us have gone by word of mouth. So it's worth a try, and then if you set a certain amount of time and a certain price range, and if you don't hit that, then maybe you turn around and get more expertise. But I think people can expect a lot more choices in the kinds of services they can procure. It may not be a choice any longer between selling it yourself and getting a full-service brokerage. There may be somebody who, for a lot less money, will list it on the MLS or will give you some consulting or do something like that short of charging that full 3% for the whole shebang.
In closing, talked a lot about conflicts of interest here, Charlie. What are you most conflicted over?
Well, I'm going to encourage all listeners to buy pet insurance because the Whelan family has suffered a financial setback. My dog had his ACL replaced on Monday, and the price was so large that the vet couldn't say it out loud. He had to write it down on a piece of paper.
Is this a first for the Whelan family?
This is a first for the Whelan family, and I still get dizzy when I stand up, and they make you pay up front. So I'm hoping at least that, you know, the dog did pull through and is doing well, because if he hadn't, I'd still be out the very, very large sum.
But what a great dad. I'm sure you've ended up being coming out looking pretty good.
Well, you know, when I walk him, I get an awful lot of sympathy. He's got this big, bright green cast on from his paw all the way up to
his
thigh.
What's his name?
His name is Buster.
Aw, and Charlie, hopefully you'll be getting some flowers from our concerned listeners, of course, to your email address, perhaps a bone or two.
Yes, I'm sure the realtors are going to be sending bouquets after bouquets.
Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. Charlie, thanks for joining us again, and enjoy your weekend.
Great to be with you guys.
Best of Buster, too.
If I could just sing these old country songs backwards, my old flame could be my young lover. I could get back my danged old dog Buster. Yeah, my old flame could be my young lover. And I could trade her for my danged old dog Buster.